Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer for the rest of the week. A little experiment now. Put away your BlackBerry. Close out your Outlook. Turn off your cell phone. For many of us in New York, distraction is a way of life. We check our email while in a meeting, flip open our cell phones the instant we emerge from the subway, eat lunch at our desks while on the phone with the doctor's office. But to Maggie Jackson, all these little moments of divided attention can add up and take their toll on our health, our productivity, and on society as a whole. Her new book is Distracted, The Erosion of Attention and the Coming Dark Age. It's now out from Prometheus Books, and Maggie Jackson joins me now in studio. Maggie, welcome to WNYC.
Great to be here.
So you're in studio, and your BlackBerry is away.
I don't have a BlackBerry.
Okay. What is wrong with multitasking?
Well, multitasking is just one part of the portrait of distraction that I'm writing about. But research shows increasingly that we cannot do two things at once. That's really called dual tasking. We really can't operate simultaneously as well as if we were doing one thing. But most of the time, we're actually task switching. We're toggling back and forth between two different things. And the average knowledge worker switches tasks every 3 minutes all day long. I mean, that's a portrait of work fragmentation. And, we are really trying to live this life of freedom, mobility, and yet the costs are diffusion, fragmentation, and disconnection.
You write in your book, and I'm quoting, "We are nurturing a culture of social diffusion, intellectual fragmentation, and sensory detachment. In this new world, something is amiss, and that something is attention." Is there really a golden age of attention that we have left? I mean, was there really a moment in history when people were focused and paying attention and it's all behind us?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's almost impossible to compare with past ages. And yet we do live in a very noisy society. I mean, we're assaulted in sensory ways all the time. It's really interesting because different ages in history valued different types of attention. In the 18th century, there was a sort of a rational, enlightened view of attention as this observational skill. And in the industrial age, we promoted overall this sort of rigid concentration. Well, now we can actually harness our powers of attention in new ways. There are scientific discoveries about what attention is, and if we utilize our skills, then we can live and thrive in an age of overload speed, and I think actually dial back the climate of distraction.
The subtitle of your book is The Coming Dark Age. Now, what is that about?
Well, in researching this book and the roots of our climate of distraction, I went all the way back to the cinema, the phonograph, the telegraph, et cetera, and I saw that this environment of split focus and hypermobility has been building for a long, long time. But since we're always calling this the information age or the digital age, I also researched turning points in societies. And I found that, first of all, our culture has a lot of parallels to dark ages, and yet dark ages are not necessarily all negative. Throughout history, turning points, declines in civilizations have been partly highly technological. The medieval ages was a time of great invention, and yet there's a cultural slipping. And I'm arguing we're defining our own dark age because we're stuck on the surface of thought and in relationships. We're existing in a diet of snippets and glimpses and little sound bites, and that will cost us. We can't go forward and become a progressive, innovative, and caring society.
I'm sure that people are going to have comments on that. Give us a call at 646-778-3789, 646-SPUD-RAY, 3729, and give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. We're with Maggie Jackson, the author of the book Distracted. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. You were talking about this sense of productivity. Aren't we more productive now than at any moment in history?
Well, that's up for debate. But what I think, is decreasing, and many corporate leaders are beginning to worry about this, is sort of the deep thinking. You know, a third of workers say they're so interrupted or busy that they have no time to think about the work that they do. And with this kind of multitasking, fragmentation, hurried sort of work, you know, we don't have time in a knowledge economy to create knowledge. I mean, we can't mistake what's first up on Google for sense making. And I think that, you know, productivity can be defined in many different ways. You know, another part of this culture of distraction is that we value speed. We value efficiency. I mean, I in my book, I talk about Frederick Taylor and his legacy to us.
Phone number 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. Give us a call if you're not too distracted. We'd like to hear from you. I'm with Maggie Jackson. She wrote the book, Distracted. You mentioned the word knowledge economy. And if you think of one of the most productive areas in our country right now, Silicon Valley, I mean, this is an area of the country where people are constantly distracted. They are constantly following little blue lines in their computers. They are checking their Blackberries. They're looking at their iPhones. Isn't there an argument to be made that, yes, there may be this sustained focus that is lost, but there's something that is replaced, an ability to make new kinds of connections and sort of create the economy of the future?
Sure. Well, again, I'm not saying I'm saying that we're off kilter in many ways in devaluing deeper kinds of focus and awareness. And yet, we can actually value different types of attention, you know, the sort of nimble hopscotching through the internet, as long as you don't get too distracted on, you know, and leave the goal that you're originally logged on for. I mean, that can be, and there can be certain types of creativity. You know, we're seeing tremendous amounts of creativity in this society. And yet, you know, a number of leaders and thinkers at some of the technology companies, Microsoft, Google, Intel, have just started something called the Information Overload Research Group. So, you know, we need to harness our powers of attention more. And that one study from Harvard Business Review actually showed that under time pressure, it's difficult to be creative unless you're focused. On days when workers feel scattered, they are not creative.
There's this whole field of learning out there, interruption science. Can you explain what that is?
Right. Well, out of the informatics field has come this phenomenal field, and scientists and researchers are studying how people work. There's one professor, Gloria Mark, who spent thousands of hours watching and observing workers in different industries. And it was she that came up with the finding that workers switch tasks every 3 minutes. And once interrupted, it takes on average of 25 minutes to return to what you're originally doing. So given our cognitive limits, you know, the limits of our short-term working memory, and given the distractions in our environment, it's really, you know, we're living often in a culture of loose ends.
One of the things that is an interesting phenomenon that I noticed this year while I was out covering various presidential campaigns is I remember covering, and I think it was probably as recently as 4 years ago, a presidential campaign with a map and reading an atlas. And I think it's a skill that I've lost. I can't seem to find my way anywhere without Google, without GPS. However, I'm wondering if there isn't something that's sort of liberating and freeing about that, you know, I can listen to the GPS and then look at the road.
Sure. Well, again, it's a question of balance. I mean, one of the key points of this whole debate is our relationship with the machine. You know, again, if we're patterning ourselves after the machine, the efficiencies of the machine, if we're valuing analytic thought over sort of certain times of spontaneous creativity, well, then we're losing. And, you know, sure, the Post-it note is a great outsourcing of our memory. And we'll continue to do that. We'll change as humans. But we really need to step back and look at you know, again, whether we wish to skim on the surface of life or whether we wish to make time to go deeply.
Let's take some calls. 646-778-3729. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. I'm speaking with Maggie Jackson. She wrote the book Distracted. Let's go to Bonnie from Brooklyn. Good morning.
Hi. I'm actually calling in because I'm 26 now, but about a year after I finished college, I decided to get rid of my television and my computer. And it was actually probably based on the fact that I wasn't going to source material anymore, and it really actually concerned me, and that I actually watched my attention span going down and diminishing, and I've actually started going back to, you know, reading Wealth of Nations, reading War and Peace, and actually reading the full thing, and I didn't even do that in college, where I didn't actually have the desire to do it as much.
Bonnie, you sort of grew up in an age different from the one that I grew up in, where I know that young college students are aghast to learn I wrote papers on typewriters. But I'm wondering if you feel that you gained anything by growing up in a computer age, that you had some sense of advantage or richness of sources available to you from all of these diverse sources.
Well, most computer things are sort of intuitive, and you should be able to learn them fairly quickly if you grew up with them to some extent. I mean, I had computer classes since I was in, I guess, sixth grade, and I had a computer in my house since I was probably in fourth or fifth grade. So, like you were saying, you can't read an atlas. I can still read a map and an atlas, but I can also navigate a computer program because I was still trained to do that. And you still have that in the background.
Maggie Jackson, was there anything that you wanted to say about that, about this idea of getting rid of television and internet? Is that something you recommend?
Well, I have written about people who are tech refuseniks, is my term. You know, people who are trying to tamp back and use fewer technological gadgets to sort of get less clutter, cognitive clutter in their environment. But I would like to say that I think one mistake, you know, we're making as we go forward in this technological age, and again, I'd underscore that I think a lot of the technology we have is absolutely wonderful. We're just not using it wisely. But we're mistaking technological savvy, the push-button mechanics of using these technologies for knowledge making. The OECD has a research on.
And the OECD is?
The Organization of Economic and. Cooperative Development. They have done international studies of problem solving and analytical reasoning. U.S. 15-year-olds rank 24th out of 29 developed countries on those scores. And so I don't know if there's a connection, but I do know that we can't advance as a society when we can't use 21st century skills such as analytic reasoning.
But I wonder what that is. I mean, you can go to China and people are paying more attention to their cell phones even than they are here. So I'm wondering.
I don't know about that. I really think that's a huge generalization. I mean, I only know about our social culture here, our hypermobility, our, you know, the wonders of our split focus, et cetera. I think we've gone too far. And it's really hard to do international comparisons.
Well, but you were just saying, you were just giving this ranking of U.S. teenagers. But it could be caused by any number of factors. It could be caused by school system. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, caused by the fact that they're text messaging.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to, you know, we can't say it's any one thing. But yet, I'm arguing that how can we progress as a society when we are so distracted, so inattentive. And, you know, the OECD, you know, again and again, research shows that younger people are unable to evaluate and assess the information they find on the web. And it's not just a generational issue. Again, the portrait of work fragmentation that I described at the workplace is something that resonates. The lack of time to think, the lack of time to wrestle with the text or with deep learning. When we're all in an office meeting and we're so split focused with one eye on a BlackBerry or on a cell phone, how can you have that great potential creative brain power that meetings were supposed to be about?
Well, and I certainly know that it can be terribly hard to pay attention to so many things. On the other hand, it's sort of there is this sense in which, you know, you learn all these things and you can act on them and you can share with people. And there is a sense of, you know, connectivity that never existed before. I mean, if you look at this sort of presidential election, the way that, you know, people are connecting with each other through Twitter and through, you know, all different Facebook and, you know, email is so primitive that lots of people aren't even using it anymore. There is something new that is being created here. And I'm wondering if there's any sense in which you feel like there is a trade-off. Or if just distraction is bad and there should be an attempt to eliminate it.
Oh, no. I've been saying, again and again, there are trade-offs. We are off kilter. I don't think that this is a negative time. When I say a dark age, I think we're on the cusp of losing certain skills, if we're not careful, of deeper thinking and deeper relating. You know, we have tremendous social connectivity. One sociologist who I researched found that in the 5-year email archive, archive of a 24-year-old, he had ties to 11.7 million people in the world. And yet, even people in their 20s say to me, why don't you, as a writer, write about how we don't talk to each other at parties, we're just watching the screens. And so,
right.
Oh, they're tremendous. I mean, I use, you know, Google. We can tap into the wealth of our connectivity and our informational resources, but at the moment, we're not doing it well.
Right. I, how many times have you heard, I read it on Google? As if Google was a news source.
Right.
My guest has been Maggie Jackson. She's the author of Distracted, The Erosion of Attention and the Coming Dark Age. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk more about whether this is leading to a dark age, but the conversation continues on our comments page. You can go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Thanks so much for coming in studio, and I hope you weren't too distracted because I know that you have to drive your daughter to the airport right now.
Not distracted at all. Thank you very much for a great conversation.
Thanks for coming in.